This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
It's always a big day for me on Wednesdays because I get a chance to talk and see my friend Chip Patterson is dressing down today. We're on video. Last week, Chip was wearing a sport coat, made all of us look foolish. Chip Patterson, Cover 3 podcast moderator, CBSSports.com. How are you?
You dare me to do a wardrobe change?
Right? I want you to put a bowler on.
Well, I've got a 140 HQ. Well, it's like a 140 call time, 145 HQ hit. If you want to split screen it, CBSSports.com, CBSSportsHQ.com. We'll be previewing the SEC on CBS doubleheader. But, you know, maybe at the break I'll switch it up and go get the sport coat just to show you I've got the versatility.
Right.
But no, I come as I am here as we get started.
What is our SEC doubleheader this week?
It's Auburn and Georgia at the 3:30, Texas A&M, Alabama in the 8.
Look at that. A little rivalry game and a little personal rivalry game.
That's right. Not a single point spread under 24, but daggum, we got talking points.
I was going to get to that. Neither game should be all that competitive. And honestly, Brian Harsin is still the head coach at Auburn, right, for the time being?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked, Adam. So here's my personal theory.
Right.
So last Sunday, for those who didn't watch, Auburn got out to a early lead against LSU. In which case you're like, oh no, because if you're at Auburn, you want him to lose that game to make it easier to fire him.
Correct.
But then they blow the lead, and included in blowing the lead is an absolutely mind-boggling call for a halfback pass inside the 15-yard line when you're trying to knock on the door and be able to get a game-winning score. I mean, literally, like, everything in the soup that you want to warm up your let's fire the coach soul.
Right.
So why didn't it happen on Sunday? Well, you know what else was happening in the state of Alabama on Sunday? Talladega. And I think it's just impossible to imagine that Auburn can be able to gather all of the power brokers they need to pass the hat around.
Right.
Because they all got plans. They're all at the track. They're all at Talladega. You can't do Auburn business on the same day that Talladega's hosting a race. So that is why. We did not see Brian Harsin fired on Sunday. The popular theory, actually, is that he coaches against Georgia, he coaches against Ole Miss, and then they've got the off week, and they'll fire him after that.
Gosh. I mean, Auburn cycles through head coaches faster than just about anybody. All right, Chip. The burning question I asked yesterday, we actually put a poll question up that got a lot of response right away. Who's going to win the Coastal? I gave three choices and then field. Choice one, North Carolina. Choice two, Miami. Choice three, Duke. Choice four, field. How would you answer that poll?
I would answer North Carolina right now, but let Duke win against North Carolina for the victory bell in 2 weeks, and Duke becomes a much more serious candidate to be able to represent the Coastal Division the final time.
Prime time, I believe, right? Is it a prime time game? ACC Network?
That was the other thing. And I looked, our friend Adam Rowe, I believe, shared the like ticket options. Like that sucker's going to be a sellout by the time we get to kickoff.
It should be a sellout now.
I don't want to speak. Much love to Art Chase and all of our friends at Duke. It could be a sellout right now. As of yesterday afternoon or morning, it looked like there are very few tickets that are left. Could be a sellout, should be an amazing atmosphere. And, of course, what would be the most hilarious, and I always root for the funny, would be for North Carolina to beat Miami and then lose to Duke.
Yeah, North Carolina's in Miami this weekend.
And guess what? Miami can't score. That's the reason why my answer is North Carolina. To go back to your initial poll question, is that who can outscore Drake May?
Right.
Who in the ACC Coastal Division, where Brennan Armstrong looks like all of his insides have been hollowed out by Tony Elliott, where Virginia Tech, as we know, not only took a loss to the Tar Heels but can't score. Mm-hmm. Miami can't score. Georgia Tech is a mess. Pittsburgh can't score. The simulated results of Pitt Virginia Tech are 15-4 this week. If you want to claw your eyeballs,
no, they're not.
Watch Pitt, Virginia Tech instead of the amazing offerings that college football will provide for you this weekend. Nobody in the Coastal Division has an offense or a quarterback that can compete with what they have in Chapel Hill right now, my selection would be North Carolina.
I appreciate the fact that you said, well, just wait and see what happens with the Duke UNC game next Saturday, the 15th. Yes. Duke does have to get past a Georgia Tech team that looked, at least defensively, to be a little bit more, have a little bit more of an identity against Pitt. I don't want to get into that too much, but.
I can real quick.
Sure.
That's one of my most confident thoughts of the week. Like, that game is where it all broke last year. If we don't see the veterans on this Duke team come in with some real fire,
right,
to be like, no, this team is not going to take our cookies like they did last year. I think there's some revenge.
Okay.
The players who were on that roster last season should go in with a real fire to making sure that a Georgia Tech team that has just fired its coach is not going to make Duke look poor again, because Duke played well enough to win. And they just let that thing slip away. That was the beginning of the end, in my opinion. I think Duke wins that game by 7 points or more.
All right, let me just go back to Saturday and what happened at Clemson, just to get your thoughts. And I think you forecast this pretty well, in that you might have even been pretty close to the score line on this. But I don't know if it's that they can't or that they won't. But NC State just didn't show enough offense. And I think it's more of won't than it is can't, although maybe it's won't because they can't, to really let Devin Leary throw. I mean, I don't think he's a good deep thrower. Too many way overthrown balls on deep shots. But the intermediate throws, he's pretty good at.
Right.
And they got first and goal at the 7, and then they went bag of tricks, dumb run, quarterback draw, settle for a field goal. I thought that was the game to me. I thought that was an indication that they weren't interested, or not interested, they weren't willing to take the risk that you need to do to win a game at Clemson. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible, because here's one thing, Adam, taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is, we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that will help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
A lot of throws behind the line of scrimmage. A lot of throws to the running backs. You know, if it's not Thayer Thomas, then you know, I don't know who's going to be there in terms of someone that they trust as a pass catcher for the Wolfpack right now. I think that a lot of it should be credited to a Clemson defensive front that I think played its best game of the season. They seem to have everything scouted. They seem to have everything dialed in. And look, then it comes back to can't or won't in the way that you structure your offense, because if things are overly predictable and you don't have counterpunches, then it's going to be very tough to beat the teams that are elite, especially up front defensively. I thought NC State's defense played well enough for NC State to win that game.
No question.
And that's what makes it really disappointing, because it was the missed opportunities offensively, and the fact that even just throughout the game, it did not seem as though if there was sort of like a scale or a leverage, Clemson always had the upper hand when it was NC State's offense against Clemson's defense. And this is what you're encouraged by. Physically, NC State did not look too small for the moment.
Right.
And I think that intangibly, mentally, emotionally, like however you want to consider it, NC State competed like they were ready for the moment. They did not wither up and they did not look too small. I think that is a great sign moving forward with this NC State team. But now we get into the intangible side of this, where it's like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
You have huge games that are coming up. Are you going to, with a Florida State team dealing with injury issues, Are you going to take care of business, or are you going to have a little bit of a letdown? With a trip to Syracuse on deck, are you going to show up in that game ready to go, or is that going to be a letdown spot? Wake Forest still ahead in the future. There are massively challenging games for NC State. It was never a one-game season for NC State.
Right.
It was always going to be the one game and then what comes next. Very disappointing to lose the way you did. The flaws were as feared. But again, I think that physically they did not look they looked ready for the moment. And then I think in terms of competitiveness, they looked ready for the moment. They were just lacking the playmakers and the explosiveness offensively, especially through the air, to be able to beat DJ Uiagalelei, who, by the way, is just – having a tremendous season right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I want to talk about DJU in a second. And I kept going into this game talking about State and Clemson and making references to the previous weekend when Carolina played Notre Dame, which I know it's not vintage Notre Dame, nor is it vintage North Carolina, or maybe it is vintage North Carolina. And North Carolina as a team was not ready for... and I hate to use the term, but big boy football. They were mm-hmm. not prepared to play a big boy football game, and they just got steamrolled by a program that was. And it looked different. It looked like different levels of football player on the field between Notre Dame and North Carolina. So I was going into this game, and I thought, I don't think we're going to see that at Clemson. I think we're going to see a team that looks on the field like it belongs. They look the part. But... I am a little concerned, and this is more about the coaching staff, about the moment. Because there's a way to win or give yourself a better chance to win those games. And it's not playing a more close-to-the-vest conservative style. Because unless you have better athletes... you can't win that way, especially on the road at a team like Clemson, who appears to be pretty doggone good. Not what they used to be, but pretty not that far version from it. And I just thought that they didn't do enough to set themselves apart. And I think that was by design. And that's my problem.
I worry that we are projecting our own hopes and dreams and sort of
sure.
wishes
okay.
where Dave Doran's challenge would be, look at what we've accomplished. We've accomplished this by being us. This is what we do, and it's given us a chance to win. We thought we were good enough to win. We beat these guys last year. Like, however he's going to build that argument, especially against, you know, given his longevity at NC State, I just think that it is it does not seem to fly along with everything that we've seen. And honestly, probably a lot of the reasons that they have become so consistent is that they don't stray from
right.
what they do. And so, you know, you and I sit here like, man, like you couldn't cook up any, like you couldn't just like pull everything out of the binder. Like there wasn't anything in there that any wrinkles or something mm-hmm. that you could throw there to try to give yourself a chance.
Well, they couldn't do a Thayer Thomas pass from the 7 because they had just done it against Texas Tech.
Already put it on tape.
So again, going back to that game, wondering, why are we doing this? Look, I think you and I are on the same page about Dave Doran. I don't want to be critical of the head coach here because I think he's done an amazing job creating NC State's program as it is, which I think is going to be very solid and steady for the next however long he wants to be here. It's going
as long as he's here, that's a top 25 program.
Right, and that's... and that's something that State has not had on a regular basis. But other coaches that they have had a little bit, they punched higher. And that's my point. And you have to be willing to take some risks. And I understand that that's not what they do. But then you're almost resigning yourself to, well, they're going to have to help us win. And I don't think there was much difference in terms of the personnel with those two teams. I really don't. I mean, you could argue that in certain positions, State was better than Clemson. Clemson was better than State. I don't think there was a vast difference between those two teams. So if you don't have that, if it's pretty even, then you're either hoping that the other team helps you or you've got to do a little bit more. And I just think State was just going to play our game and see what happens. And it didn't work.
Yeah, it is disappointing, but I also think we need to give some credit to a Clemson team that is turned a corner. You know, that has undoubtedly in the last 2 weeks grown up, turned a corner, and fully shed its skin of everything that went wrong last season. To which I will bring up one more thing.
Sure.
Who was the offensive coordinator for Clemson last year?
Tony Elliott.
And how's it going in Virginia this year, offensively?
Wow. Are we going there?
Jimbo Fisher receives criticism for his offense being too complicated.
Right.
And I wonder if we're sort of on the other end of the spectrum there, where it's just and look, Virginia's got an awful offensive line. They can't block.
Right.
It's very difficult to build anything out when you cannot block. But Clemson's offense and DJ Uiagalelei, they're clicking.
Yeah.
They're doing all right without Tony Elliott in town. So, I mean, look, it's the Virginia Duke game. I mean, it comes back to that. That was the Tony Elliott Bowl. Remember Tony Elliott?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Nina King was just dancing in the box. Yeah. Who made the right hire right now?
Yeah. Duke does look like a pretty tight outfit right now. So that's good for them. And I was always Team Cutcliffe, but it was apparent at the end that David was going to do it the way he wanted to do it, and he was loath to change, and he needed to change, and that's why Duke changed. The way that should have ended, really, was that they should have had a retirement ceremony for David Cutcliffe, and that's not what happened. All right, we'll come back. I want to talk a little bit. I want to take this conversation a little nationally with Chip Patterson. CBSSports.com Cover 3 podcast moderator. We know the three. I think Chip mentioned who he thought the fourth would be, but we'll talk about that other spot, that last spot. Also, what are State's goals the rest of the way? Next. Before we get to the national picture, Clemson's the best team in the ACC. Who's the second best team in the ACC?
NC State.
Okay.
NC State Wake Forest is the debate.
Yes.
I think Florida State's a little bit. I got too hot. I got caught up.
Did you?
I got a little bit over my skis. I think that very specifically the fact that Wake Forest was able to move the ball on the ground against Florida State's defense to ice that win speaks tremendously to Wake Forest, and also that Florida State still does not have a roster worth saying that it is the second best team in the ACC. So it is an NC State Wake debate where I think Wake has more data points against better teams, but I think that NC State has the better defense without debate, and that they just thankfully they get to settle that one on the field for who is the second best team.
Here's the thing about it. I don't think it matters how good your defense is at times. I just think if you have a good offense, you're going to figure out a way to move, because there are so many possessions in a college football game. If you have a good offense, you're probably going to score 30-something points. I just don't know how you avoid it in college football. And Clemson's got a good defense. I understand they had cornerback. They had coverage issues. Wake Forest didn't have any problem scoring. I don't care how good your defense is. If the other team has a good offense, because of the number of possessions, there's going to be points on the board. That's my default setting when it comes to college football.
I mean, good offense beats good defense is right on the like bingo board of great football cliches.
I just used six paragraphs for a cliche. That's all.
Yeah, good offense beats good defense. So Ohio State for the national championship. There you go.
Look, I'm looking forward to the game between the Wolfpack and the Demon Deacons. And this, again, one more thing before we get into the more of a national look. I am curious, when is the first job that's going to come open that they go, that guy knows what he's doing, meaning Dave Clawson?
I thought that was a Dave Clawson thing.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. I mean,
that's like, you know whose name doesn't get mentioned anymore? Luke Fickell. And Luke Fickell has every right to be at the top of a Wisconsin, of a Nebraska, of like any one of these job openings. And I just think that whether like back channels or whether even just outright conversations, Luke Fickell has said, no, I'm good. I mean,
well, I wouldn't go to Nebraska either. No fair, chance I'd go to Nebraska.
If we were ranking coaches who have the on paper credentials and resume to be included in one of these candidates lists, Luke Fickell should be on it, and he's not anymore. It's because he has 9 kids and he's perfectly happy, and Cincinnati's going to the Big 12.
Right.
And when Ohio State opens up, then we'll talk.
Right.
But until Ohio State opens up, he's going to stay in Cincinnati, which will be a Power 5 team here shortly.
Right.
And raises 9 kids. I think that Dave Clawson has found the combination of two things: institutional fit, because everywhere that he's been a head coach has been a smaller university, you know, smaller size program. And then number two, the support from the institution at the university president level and from the local community, from the alumni. I mean, Wake Forest doesn't have a huge alumni base, but they can mobilize when they need to get something done, when they need to start building facilities, when they need to start raising money. They don't need a lot of hands to pass the hat around to be able to reach some of their fundraising goals. And I think that the people who are important, like Dave, and Dave likes the people that are important, why would you run from that when you can really build something special and continue to keep working on improving every little aspect of it? Dave Clawson sounds to me very, very happy with the institutional fit and the support that he has. And as long as he has that, why would you chase that to go somewhere else that might not be as good a fit, and where it might even be a tough sell to a lot of the power brokers to hire this coach from Wake Forest?
Well, it should never be a tough sell to hire somebody who is clearly great at his job. That's, I understand the personality side of all that and the high profile nature of it. Dave Clawson has proven to be great at his job. He would not be the first person that didn't leave one job for another job because, hey, they can triple my salary, because that's what could happen. I don't know what Clawson makes. It's probably in the threes somewhere. There's no question that somebody could pay him 9. I mean, they're paying Mel Tucker. What is Mel Tucker making at Michigan State? You change your shirt.
I told you.
That's so funny. I just recognized that now. Mel Tucker's making $9 million a year at Michigan State. It has not gone well, and I'm not slamming Mel Tucker for it, but I'm just saying they found money for Mel Tucker.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19th, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Michigan 4, Clemson 5. Are we just playing this out? I don't know how many losses Clemson's got on their schedule between now and the end of the season. I don't think they're completely invulnerable, but is that the way we're looking at it? Those two teams until we get to Michigan, Ohio State?
My projected record for the Michigan Wolverines heading into the regular season finale against Ohio State has not changed, but my stock price and my power rating of the Michigan Wolverines has changed based on the Maryland result and based on the Iowa result. I think defense is not as awesome as I thought it was, as they were literally pulverizing the worst non-conference schedule in all of FBS.
Right.
And the offense with J.J. McCarthy has been calmed a little bit by Iowa, not a surprise.
Right.
Maryland, a little bit of a surprise. So, I think that this is still an undefeated or one-loss team at worst heading into the game against Ohio State. But as I power rank it, or as I turn in my ballot for the CBS Sports 131, our college football rankings of all FBS, Clemson's 4.
Okay.
Like, Clemson's ahead of Michigan, and Michigan is fending off a flawed but explosive USC team. And then I think we start to take a step down into teams that have been good, but probably have a couple losses ahead in the future.
State wins out. Are they in one of those other access bowls?
Yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. State wins out. That's an Orange Bowl team.
And it's there. It's there for them. Like,
yes. That's the other part. What can we still do? We could get our first AP top 10 finish in program history.
No
question
about it.
You could go to the Orange Bowl. Like, there is so much that is still there for NC State. And, like, I don't think Clemson's going to fall off. I just discussed how I've been impressed with the way they won. I think the last two wins were the toughest games that are left on the schedule because Miami and Notre Dame are nowhere close to what we thought they were coming into the season.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson can keep this thing rolling. I think they're going to be 13-0 in ACC champions. I think the score of the ACC championship game will look like when they played Virginia and it was 62-10.
Going back to offense, if it's North Carolina, I think North Carolina is going to figure out a way to score points on anybody, but I do think Clemson will.
They ain't going to get stops.
Right.
They gave it 52-35.
Yes.
You better. Yeah. Hey, listen, Jimmy Phillips, start that game early. Don't give us the it's 7:30, but we started at 7:47. If it's Clemson in North Carolina, we're going to need 4 hours, and it's going to be a long night. Because we're going to have the college football playoff selection special the next day.
Yes.
Come on, man. Just a suggestion.
I am with you on that. All right. This is a personal beef of mine that I just want you to either tell me I'm crazy or what. I think Wisconsin is one of the best jobs in the country. And it looks like Jim Leonard, who's the new defensive coordinator, who's now going to be the acting head coach with the firing of Paul Christ. I think that's one of the best jobs in the country for this reason, because this is a program that, for the most part, few exceptions, but there are exceptions, ain't that good, but they have good records and everybody thinks they're great and they're not. Am I crazy?
You are crazy, because they listen, when you are able to recruit the beer and cheese fed linemen that maul everyone else for the rest of the country. That is a great building block for your team.
Why don't they beat anybody?
What do you mean?
They clean up on the weak side of the Big Ten. The Big Ten West is terrible. I mean, the competition there is Iowa and Minnesota, and we're done.
See, I think Bielema showed you the ceiling because Ohio State cycled down and Wisconsin won legit Big Ten titles, three of them in a row. Like that. That says what you can do, which is like you're not going to get ahead of Ohio State, but let Ohio State and Michigan both slip up at the same time.
So that's taking advantage of other people's failures.
Well, that means that Wisconsin is the fourth best job in the Big Ten, and that is a great place to be. Here's what's the most interesting thing about the Wisconsin job to me. Wait, why can't you stand them?
I hate them. I hate everything about them. Sorry, I just can't. Yes. Yeah, they're like the St. Louis Cardinals to me.
I like the Wisconsin predictability.
I happen to like Jim Leonard, though. I love Jim Leonard.
So this is the thing that's interesting is, so Chris McIntosh, former All-American at Wisconsin, is the new athletic director. And Jim Leonard, we believe, is getting his audition right here. Paul Christ was a Barry Alvarez guy, the old athletic director. There's some real daddy's not in charge anymore, next generation taking over vibes going on, which can backfire. I'm interested to see how it goes. I'm rooting for Jim Leonard because he is somebody who's on the rise. And my read on this, in case you didn't go over this already this week, is that there are wins ahead on the Wisconsin schedule. And so Chris McIntosh would like for Jim Leonard to get those wins. Rather than for Paul Christ to get those wins and make it a little bit more difficult to make that decision, because McIntosh, the big money people around Wisconsin, they're ready to turn the page and go to the new era. So here you go. Jim Leonard, you got a chance to have the fourth best job in the Big Ten. You just got to beat Northwestern. Good luck.
I just don't see Wisconsin beating good teams. That's been my issue for a long time. Like I said, there are some outliers there because they have been in the past. There have been years where they've been great. I just think for the most part, they don't have to be because there's nobody on that half.
It's a zero-sum game at the top. It fundamentally is. Like, not everybody can always be beating good teams. This isn't the NFL.
No, I understand that. Tier. I understand
you
that.
Bump your head on the ceiling. And Wisconsin, that to me, that's what is that mark. Texas A&M hasn't done that. You know, like Texas A&M, when other programs have cycled down, mm-hmm. have not been able to cycle up.
I agree.
Wisconsin, when the big dogs have cycled down, they have been able to cycle up. I think that that is an aspirational position for a college football program.
Vultures. That's what you just called Wisconsin. They are vultures. They are ready
to eat.
To pick the carcasses up the other
side. Hey, that's fine. It all still gets you fed and on to the next day.
All right. Put your jacket on, Chip Patterson. You're going to be on the TV soon. CBS Sports HQ coming up in about 10 minutes. Chip Patterson, I thank you very much, man. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Unbelievable. See, that's I needed that. I willingly accepted being put in my place. But he's not going to convince me that I'm wrong, but I appreciate all of that. All right. Orange Wedges.
Your halftime entertainment.
Okay, so I'm kind of excited about this. Today is National Be Nice Day. So open some doors, say thank you and please to people, maybe give a random compliment, maybe let someone in traffic, you know, use your blinkers.
Oh,
that's
no,
a nice
that's
thing
not going
to
happen. You just mentioned
reaching?
Two things that do not happen. No, people will like inch up ahead of you like you're not going to get in front
right.
of me. Like, we're not moving anywhere.
No.
You're not going to be so far ahead. All you're doing is mucking up progress here.
Yes, I know. Yeah. Maybe today. Maybe just for today. It's pretty outside, at least here, yeah. So I don't know.
Do people understand merging? It's like a zipper.
Right. There is such a thing. It's called zipping.
It's
yes.
a zipper.
Uh-huh.
Like, you go, I go, you go, I go. Your lane, my lane, your lane. That's it.
Yeah.
And then everybody's happy. We all understand the deal.
Right? Maybe you're nice and someone throws up a hand and not, like, a certain finger instead.
Yes.
So, you know.
Cheese guns.
The
cheese guns.
There you go. So, just so you know, keep that in mind in case you're a little angry. Just be nice today. Also, something that's fun and nice is when you find something cool and interesting. Are you a Goodwiller? Do you like to go to Goodwill?
I mean, I donate items to Goodwill.
Yes.
I have not shopped
okay.
in Goodwill, but I see people go in that store all the time.
Yeah. Well, I have a lot of friends who are Goodwillers, and if you didn't know this, they actually launched a Goodwill Finds website. So now you don't have to actually go to a store.
Wait.
You can get your cheap stuff online.
Interesting.
But does that not take away from the appeal of going in? I mean, I don't know because I don't go that often. But I know the times that I have, it's cool when you find that thing that you didn't know you needed and you still don't, but you got it because it's $1.85 or like.
I have actually never been inside
really?
Of Goodwill,
okay,
yes,
well,
other than
to.
The donation area.
You have to go inside because you will find some interesting things there
really?
Every time. Probably some dirty things, but some interesting things too because people do just give whatever when they move, so. You never know what you can find. So online, apparently, you can find anything. But beware because they do say that there's nothing less than $5 and you still have to pay shipping. So that's in a lot of people. It's expensive once it reaches $5. But if you like Goodwill, you can now find things online. So
interesting.
There you go. This also ties into it because a lot of people go to Goodwill around this time of year for Halloween costumes.
Oh, that's good. Yes.
That is what they'll go for. Well, here are some of the most popular costumes for kids, adults, and pets. So adults, I love this one so much. The inflatable T-Rex.
Okay.
It will never not be funny to me. I don't know why. Of course, Wonder Woman, Buddy the Elf, Dark Knight. That's all like, nah, I've seen it. Kids, Paw Patrol, Justice League, Darth Vader. So cute if I see a little dude who's a Darth Vader. That's so cute. But then here we go. Pet costumes. Give them all to me. Minions, Bette Midler's Winifred, character from Hocus Pocus, Beetlejuice.
Wait, a dog as a minion?
Yes.
Oh, that would be awesome.
I know. So for me, I need all the pet costumes. I like the ones with the little arms that hang off the side, too. So when it's wobbling around, you can just, oh, my gosh. Give awesome. Them all to me. So, yeah, on the Twitters, we're going to have to get people to share their pictures. But those are the go-to ones this year. I like the homemade costumes, though, so I want to see those, too. And speaking of Halloween, there's costumes and there's candy. Here in England, they have now made a survey of whether they should put what exercises you need to do by the calories to burn off said food. Now, would you be a fan of this if there was maybe a candy bar and on the side it said, you're going to have to run for like 45 minutes if you want to eat this and burn this off?
That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be fine.
I like the perspective.
I kind of know that anyway.
Yeah.
Right? So I have this thing with empty calories.
Yes.
I don't like to consume empty calories. Mm-hmm. I need something out of it. Like chips to me. What a waste.
I know.
Not to mention you can't eat one serving of chips.
Not at all. Never.
Get a bag, go to the store, get a bag, pay 3¼ for whatever the chips are. There's 7 servings of chips in that bag, and it is really 1.
Exactly.
So stop. It's like a pint of ice cream.
Oh, yeah.
The pint of ice cream has 4 servings in it.
Gone.
You lie.
One time. Yeah. Sit
Stop
down
it.
One time,
Stop
one
it with
football
your four,
game.
Right. Stop it with your 4 servings.
I know. And fun fact, so I don't know the actual equivalent, but I did see something about potato chips where it's really a bag of potatoes, like 20-plus potatoes or something in one bag, but you wouldn't eat 20 potatoes. It's just the way they slice them and fry them. It's just you can't help yourself. You can't just have 1 or 2 chips.
Yeah, I don't think there's 20 potatoes in one bag.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But, yes, now there's a study where they're actually going to maybe put that equivalent on there so you can see just what kind of bad choices you're making in life.
Okay. Yeah, I would support that. I would support the that plan, that notion.
Well, it's good to know going into the holidays anyway. But you know, I have a theory that during the holidays and your birthday, calories don't count. So there
that's,
you go.
That's a very good theory.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar! And the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup!
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.